Welcome to this production of The Return, written by Kaven Panmi Chow and directed by Mark Shanahan, brought to you by Westport Country Playhouse in partnership with WSHU. This production contains sounds of war. A special thank you to the Playhouse's 2021 season sponsor, the Eunice and David Bigelow Foundation, whose generous support made this production possible. Imagine yourself arriving at the theater. Your ticket is in hand. You take your seat. The lights lower. A hush comes over the crowd. The curtain rises. But at this performance, everything you see, it's all in your mind's eye. This is the Westport Country Playhouse Radio Theater.
Stay calm. Everything is fine. Nothing is going to harm me. Just take it day by day. It is Thursday, November 8, 1945. The war's over. I'm all right. When I close my eyes, I'm right back there. There's chaos everywhere. I need to get up. I need to keep running. I can't stand. My head is so dizzy. My legs. Where's my leg? Where's my leg? I can't stay here. I have to move or I'll die. Dear heaven, please stop the screaming. Nag. Nag, my beautiful wife. I'll make it. I promise. I can see you see the baby so plainly. I promise. I promise. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going...
Sir?
Yes?
We've reached Bangkok. The boat will dock soon and you'll transfer then. Will you need a hand with...
No. I'm fine. Finally, I'll see Nag and the baby and Badi and my house and everything I care about. So why do I feel so alone?
The Return by Kaven Panmi Chow, based on the Thai folk legend, Man Nag.
Ah, the smell of the city again. Bangkok is unmistakable. It has this tang. The diesel, the fish, incense, everywhere. That tang is the first time I felt home. Well, not really home yet. My home is further down a canal, a klong off the river. It's not much, really, but my family has been there longer than memory. And I've waited this long, I can wait a little more, right? A little more to see my auntie Badi's sweet face, eat all her curries in the marketplace, hearing the people screaming over fish and veg and the smell of the jungle, all jasmine and incense and damp swirling around you. But Nag, her, I admit, I'm impatient to see. Her and the baby I've not met yet. I'd hope it wouldn't have to go. Now it was already starting to show. The war was turning, but the Japanese needed more of their ally soldiers, so Thailand held a draft and, oh, lucky me. I never wanted to leave. I never wanted to be sucked into a war I knew we couldn't win. I don't know why we aligned with them. Greed, I guess.
Sir, here's where you transfer.
Yes. Cup and crap.
Cup.
I I got through 5 months on the lines, fighting through mud and mosquitoes and dysentery. It wasn't so bad once I got used to it. And my platoon, some of the best men I've ever known. God, we had no clue. What did any of us know about war? Mostly it was just days of endless nothing. But we always had home to dream on, to cling to. Until that day the sky exploded. I almost didn't make it after the shell tore my leg off. I remember a little bit, and then white until I woke up looking at a hospital ceiling. Had to fight tooth and nail to walk again with the prosthetic. But I did it. It's not the easiest. My body aches at the end of the day. But I manage. I only need to get home. To Nog and the baby. I don't know what I'm going to find. But they're enough for me.
We're here.
I'm home.
Oh, my goodness, dang. Oh, come here, Manny. Oh. Welcome home, Ja. Let me see you.
Sorry, krap, buddy. How's my favorite auntie?
Your only auntie. You know, I prayed every day at the temple for you to come home. I made offerings, tambun, and Buddha heard my prayers. My God, I cannot believe it. You are here.
Where else would I be?
Well, I know it must be a sad time for you. Coming back.
No. Being here is what I need. Did Peapot make it back too?
Yes. 2 months ago.
You must be so happy to have your son home.
So happy I could cry. Look at me. Silly. Come. So many people will want to see you.
I can't wait to catch up with everyone. But there is one or two that I must see first.
Ah, of course. You must miss them so.
Yes. I cannot imagine I would have survived the war without the thought of them to steal me.
I have known you your whole life. And to see this strong, brave man, you... If you need anything, do not hesitate, na?
I won't, but I must go. I'll come by tomorrow.
You better.
Just down the road a few more steps and then... I'll be there. The house my paw built with his own hands on the edge of the marsh. The house where my memories are and where my memories will be. It's not much. It's small and needs new paint and it creaks all the time, but it's my home, and I haven't seen it in so long. Only a few more steps to the corner and I should see it. I don't know what it will be like. I've been gone forever in a day, and suddenly I'm going to be in front of my house, walking into my front door like nothing happened. And yet, so much has happened. Nothing's the same. Wow, why am I so anxious all of a sudden? I'm sweating buckets. It's all right. You've just waited a long time for this. Oh my God, there it is. Come on, legs, hurry up. Home. Almost there, almost there, almost there. Yes. Wow. I didn't realize how overgrown the bushes could get. Why is everything so dusty? Oh, Nam must have her hands full with the baby. Poor thing, the lights aren't even on. Someone should be home. Oh, God, it's freezing in here. Hello? Maybe she's in the back.
Nam? Na Ka?
Dong? Is that you?
Yes. Where are you, my love?
In the room.
Why are you standing here in the dark? Let me turn on the light. Oh. Oh, my beautiful darling. Well, won't you come give me a hug?
I'm still quite sore after the birth.
My God, sweetheart. You don't need to hug me, my love. Just let me drink you in. I never want to take my eyes off you.
I'm right here.
I know, but just the sight of you. It finally feels real. I'm finally home.
You are, aren't you?
I am, love. Where's the baby?
I'll get her. She's been waiting for you. Nonglek.
My love, I can...
Here she is.
So quick. Nonglek. Oh, hello. Let me hold her. I've dreamt of holding her for so long, and now it's too much to take in. Like looking at generations all in one face. Almost otherworldly. Thinking of her and Na was the only thing that kept me going. Fighting. But I don't have to think anymore, do I? Because they're here. And I'm never leaving them again. Oh, Daddy's home now, all right? Daddy's home.
You must rest.
Yes. I might go lie down.
Ooh, the travel hit me all of a sudden. Ooh, my goodness, it is awfully cold in here.
It's the breeze. I'll shut the windows.
You are a treasure. You know that, right?
So some say. Now go.
I haven't been in my bedroom in months, and I'm struck with such a strange feeling. I've known it my whole life, but it doesn't seem the same. Everything's more mundane than I remember. Duller. Grayer. Untouched. Perhaps it's the dust, but it's all here. Her grandfather's old teak dresser, a mirror small for a child, and my bed. Glorious bed. Oh, sweet mercy. So much better than that muddy rock and mountain dirt up north. I'll only lie down for a short spell. Then I'll see if Nag needs help with anything.
I'll only close my eyes for a bit.
Just a bit.
I must have fallen asleep.
What time is it? It's dark outside. I should go help Nag.
Nag? Nag?
Where is she? Is that her?
There you are. Sweetheart, what are you doing?
Can she not hear me?
Nag? What's wrong, darling?
She's not hearing me.
Nog! Where are you going?
That sound. It's almost like...
Nog, my love, please come to bed. Just turn around and come to bed, all right? Please! No, don't go to the door! Please! I'm afraid! I don't know what's outside! Can you hear me? Come away from the door! Something's coming and you're gonna get hurt! Don't open it! Nog! Don't open the door! Please! Nag! Nag!
Dang. Dang, wake up.
What? Nag?
Yes. I'm here. You were dreaming.
Oh my god. The bomb was coming and I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop it. It just kept getting closer and closer.
Shh, you're safe.
Oh. God. I'm on fire.
I'll get you some water.
I'm fine, really. Just stay here with me for a bit, huh? I'll be fine. Let me hold you for a little while.
There's a pitcher in the other room.
No, please. Stay.
All right. I just need a blanket. I'm cold.
I'll keep you warm.
I want to wrap myself up a bit. All right. Scoot over. Feel better?
Mm-hmm. Did they wake the baby?
No. Now, you go back to sleep. I'm right here. Shh. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Dang, I'm going into the market to get some things. I'll take the baby. I won't be gone long.
No, no. I'll come with you.
You just got home yesterday. Rest.
It's all right. I'm awake.
You should be asleep.
I have the whole rest of my life to sleep. I need to see Badi and Peapod anyway.
Must you?
I promised Badi I'd come by the stall. Think I might buy some of her green curry paste so you can make that phenomenal curry you do.
She'll give it to you freely. Lan Sujilak.
See? All the more reason for me to come. I'll carry the baby.
But really...
Let me help you.
All right. Get dressed before I go without you.
I'm not letting you out of my sight, ever.
I know.
I forgot how busy the marketplace is. So many people haggling, yelling, filling the rows of stalls and waves of potties. The rambutan and the mangosteen fill my nose, fighting for space with grilled chickens and fresh fish. Oh, I love the marketplace. Oh. Hush, little one. I know the sling isn't the most comfortable. I'm sorry.
Shh. I can take the baby.
I'll get the hang of it. She'll calm eventually.
Are you sure?
Of course. I'm getting to know my little girl. Isn't that right?
Well, I need to get some pork for tonight.
All right. Oh. Will you look at that? Asleep like an angel. I told you she... Nah? Where'd she go? Must have gone for the pork. Sawadee krap, buddy.
Sawadee ja. How are you doing?
Honestly, it doesn't feel real, being back.
It was like that for part two. It takes time.
Right. Just feels... odd.
You just got back. You'll adjust, nah?
Yeah. Maybe your curry paste will help.
Oh, you're gonna make curry tonight? My paste is the best in all of Samut Prakan, you know. Everyone in the province comes for it.
Then I'm lucky you think I'm adorable enough to give me some.
That worked when you were 5.
Does it work now?
Yes, but you can't have it just yet. I'm not done.
That's all right, Ba. I can wait, if you don't mind my hanging around.
You kidding? You're my favorite nephew. So, how was your first night back? Sleep well?
Not really. I had such a nightmare.
What happened?
It's nothing.
Hey, I'm your auntie, nah? I'm your closest family.
Nah was walking down the hall, and I kept calling to her. Kept saying, come to bed. Come to bed. But she kept walking to the door. I pleaded with her not to open it because, I don't know, there was something on the other side that just terrified me. And suddenly it was just light and screaming.
Look at me, Ja. War is cruel. It leaves scars. When you got injured, I cursed heaven for putting you in danger. And then you lost so much. But you got better. You pulled through. You are brave, Na. So do not apologize. Because you are a survivor. You, Pat, all of the soldiers, you survived. And we're going to be here for you.
Thank you, Ba. Is Bipat here today?
He's helping at the spice stall. Why don't you go say hi? He'd love to see you. The pace should be done when you come back.
Okay, Ba. I'll see you in a bit. Bipat and I both got drafted at the same time, but he got sent elsewhere. He's been back for a while, so maybe he had it easier than I did. I hope so.
Dang! Dang! Sawadee!
Sawadee P! How are you?
I'm fine. You stopped to see my mom?
Yeah. I wanted to grab some curry paste, but it wasn't done yet.
Heard about your leg. Sorry.
It's fine. You seem to have made it back in one piece.
Yeah. Not sure if I did, though.
What do you mean?
I don't know why I came back.
Come on. Your family is here. Isn't that enough? When it was gone, all I could think of was coming home.
It's not the same.
Well, we just went through a war.
We went through a war. They didn't.
Everyone suffered, P.
They don't understand, Dang. They can't. We left and they moved on. Now we're back, but we're still stuck in the past.
No, we're not.
We're alone here. They don't know what we saw. All our friends in pieces. Lives snuffed out. For what? I can't close my eyes. I just hear whistling and bombs. And God is screaming.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Lucky. I'm leaving, Dane.
What?
I can't stay here. If I do, I'll die.
But how are you going to live? What about Badi?
I'll survive. I need to start over. My mom will be all right. She was while I was gone.
You don't know that. She needs you. Here.
I guess. Don't tell her, okay? I'm not ready.
Fine. But I think you're making a mistake.
My mistake to make. I'm going for lunch. You coming?
No. No, I think I'm gonna go grab that curry paste and head home.
All right. See you, Dang.
What happened to him? The bitterness, the despair, it's bottomless. It's endless. It's me. No. I'm not gonna let this war take more than it already has for me. I have Nog and Oleg and everything is fine.
Hello, Ja. How was Pat? You two have a good catch-up?
Yeah. It was good.
Good. You're home now, so maybe he'll brighten up a little bit. I finished the paste. Enough for a few curries.
Thank you, Ba. I can't wait to have some. Oh. Shh, oh, baby girl.
What was that?
The baby. Yeah, she's being fussy. Hush, hush, little one. Hush.
The baby.
I'm sorry, I have to go. She won't stop crying, and I need to find Nan. Call Mad for the curry paste.
Child, wait a minute.
Bye, Klaap. Sawadee ba.
Dang!
Shh, baby girl. Where's your ma? Where is she?
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Where did you go?
Oh, I got the pork. We can go home now. How was Paddy?
Fine, I think. She started acting strange, like she was afraid. For me.
She's protective. She doesn't want to see you hurt.
I suppose. I've just never seen that look on her face before. Anyway, I charmed her for the curry paste.
Always get what you want.
You're all that I want. I love you so much.
I love you.
I don't know what I would do without you and the baby.
You'd live.
With you at my side.
Help me with the door, please. My hands are full. I'm going to get started with the cooking.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Look at this sweet little one.
She is beautiful, isn't she?
Almost as beautiful as her mother.
You're so sweet on me.
Well, it's better than how we met.
When I pushed you in the klong.
We were five. I could have drowned.
It was Songkran. The new year. You needed to be cleansed.
I think it was a blessing. I guess I've loved you for forever.
I feel it.
I can't get her to stop crying for long. Maybe I should go put her down on the bed.
All right. I'll get to cooking. Do you need help?
I think I've got it. I may nap as well. Oh. I'm still so tired from last night.
All right.
Oh, shh, Lekja. Hush, hush. Everything's fine. Don't you cry. Papai Shay Padma on. Paksaron Klawiha Lesawai. Bang Popin Chicken Polamai Cab Ye Bai Fa Lu Ti Urang.
Doc, everything all right?
Yes, everything's fine. I dropped a melon and it rolled across the
Doc. What?
Dang.
What? How?
Dang.
How are you doing that?
Dang, please.
Your arm is across the room. How are you reaching that far? Holy hell.
You must let me explain.
Don't touch me! Oh my God, your hands are like ice. Get off me! Get off!
Dang, it's me!
Get the hell away from me!
Dang. Dang!
I run from the house as fast as I can. I must get away. Find a safe place. What was that thing? Her arm just shot out of her like some sickly appendage. I must be dreaming. It must be a nightmare. Wake up, Dang! Wake up! This isn't real! Or is it? Where do I go? The temple across the canal is holy ground. I can go there. I'll be safe. She won't be able to touch me. Come on, Legs. Move faster.
I wanted to tell you.
Where are you? Leave me alone.
No. You must see me for what I am.
Demon!
Stop.
Oh, she comes out of nowhere, blocking my path to the canal. Good God, she is... enormous. Her legs straddle the ground like desiccated tree trunks. Her arms like cannons. Her eyes pierce and see straight through me. I'm paralyzed with fear.
You will not cross.
This is a dream. You're not real.
Open your eyes and look at me.
You're not real. You're not real. You're not real.
Look at me.
What are you?
I am what you hold deepest in your heart.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
What are you?
I am your wife.
Stop it.
I was your wife.
You're not my wife. The canal is just behind her. I can run for it and swim for the temple. The prosthetic may not hold, but I'm going to do it.
You will release me.
Go to hell.
What are you doing?
The water is so cold, but I can make it. Come on, just a little further. She's pulled me from the river like a doll, and now she's hovering over me, her face inches from mine. I cannot look away.
You will not cross until you finish this.
Finish what? What are you?
You have lost so much, Dang. So much. I don't want to bring you more pain.
I don't understand.
I am not here, my love.
I see you, right there.
But I am not meant to be here. Not anymore.
What are you saying?
I am ashes, sweetheart. We are ashes.
No, it can't be.
Ashes of the life I tried to birth, and the lives we lost when I couldn't. I'm memory. Memory made real by you.
That's impossible. I held you. I held our baby.
Your love made us flesh. And now that love binds us to this earth. We can't leave. You need us to stay too much. But we don't belong here.
No. No, 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 no.
I am not of this world anymore. Nonglek and I, you must let us go.
But, how will I survive? You're all that kept me going.
You will keep on going. I promise. You'll feel me in the wind. I will always surround you.
I have loved you for forever.
And I will love you to eternity. Please, release us.
I release you.
Is it morning? Oh my god, it's morning. I was dreaming. Nog, can you believe it? I was... Nog? 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 Nonglet? They're not here. I wasn't dreaming. They're gone. They're really gone. All my hopes, my plans, my dreams for us. Gone. There's the morning wind, soft and chilly. Nag said I'd feel her in it. Her love surrounding me in the breeze. But how do I love a breeze? I can't hug or kiss or hold it. I can't do anything with it. What do I do with my life? I spent all of the war holding on to my family, needing them. Now I don't know what I am, what I do, where I go. What's real and what's spirit? I'm just... drifting, day by day.
Oh my god, Putt was right. I'm alone.
The Return by Kaven Panmichao, based on the Thai folk legend Man Nag. Directed by Mark Shanahan, and featuring original music, sound design, and audio production by John Gramada, with Joan Almadilla as Ba Di, Joanna Carpenter as Nog, Vin Kritikorn as Dang, Kevin Schuring as Putt and Attendant. For the Westport Country Playhouse, production coordinator Megan Smith, technical director and associate director of production R.J. Romeo, associate producer and director of production, David Dreyfus. Managing director, Michael Barker. Artistic director, Mark Lamas. For WSHU, station manager Rima Dial. Program director and Morning Edition host Tom Kuger. Julie Fredino, production director. If you would like to listen to this program or share with friends and family, the recording of this radio play will be available on the Playhouse website, www.westportplayhouse.org, through June 20th, along with a full cast list and other details related to the making of this production. Thank you again to the Playhouse's 2021 season sponsor, the Eunice and David Bigelow Foundation, and to WSHU for their generous collaboration. And now, a special conversation with writer Kevin Panmichao and director Mark Shanahan.
Hi, this is Mark Shanahan. I'm the director of the play you just heard, as well as the curator for the Westport Country Playhouse Radio Theater. Over the past year, theater artists have turned to many new and old ways to practice the art of storytelling. And when artistic director Mark Lamos asked me to think on ways in which we could invite the Playhouse audience to come together through the medium of radio, I immediately turned to my good friend, the playwright Kevin Panmichao. Kevin has written several wonderful plays, including Public Heroics Commission, Blue, A Playlet, One Tough Cookie, and Subreddit. But he's also an accomplished actor, having appeared on CBS's Madam Secretary and on stage in Lincoln Center's production of The King and I and its national tour, as well as in the UK and Tokyo. I've asked Kevin to join us here today to talk about writing for radio, being an actor-playwright, and the origins of his incredible story, The Return. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, when I first asked you, hey, do you think you have any interest in writing one of our radio plays? You came up with a whole bunch of ideas. You had a whole slew of them. But this is the one that spoke to you the most. This is a story, a legend that stayed with you, and you thought that you could adapt and turn into something really special. Why this tale?
I think as a Thai person, Menag is a legend that we all know. It's a huge part of the culture. And it's been adapted in Thailand in many forms. Films and television shows and also radio pieces long ago. And I thought it had something really interesting to say about the nature of grief. I think it had something interesting to say about loss. And I really wanted to explore that, especially as an Asian playwright, wanting to explore a piece from my own culture and bring it to a Western audience was something that was really, really tempting and exciting for me.
I absolutely loved working on it in so many ways because the story, the structure, the characters' voices, the sense of place, the haunting quality to it, all of this was so evocative in the language that you brought to this story. And I wondered in particular, why did you choose to set it at the end of the Second World War? And what did that do in changing the story for you or making it even more personal?
I think I chose the Second World War because collectively, in our imagination, it's something that we're all really familiar with, but it's a different angle. I don't think a lot of people know that Thailand at the time was allied with the Axis powers and that the prime minister had done so out of preservation for the country. It's a conflict that is close to our minds that we all have some sort of relationship to. That felt like a way in for me and I hope for our audience. To kind of understand a different side of the conflict than we normally learn about here. And because it had such large ramifications for societal structures and family structures afterwards, that was something I really wanted to explore there. So, yeah.
The nostalgia of it also plays into the haunting quality of the story. It's a chilling tale, but it's also so nostalgic. And as we cast our minds back, and what is it about a ghost story that makes such a good play, especially when dealing with grief and loss and things like that? Why did a ghost story speak to you in so many ways?
Oh gosh, my partner often says that a lot of my stories deal with death. It's not really death. It's more about transitions. I think ghost stories are like a transition in a way. I think you're always dealing with spirits who haven't fully let go of their mortal coil, so to speak, right? The ghost story is the ultimate dramatic problem. People have unfinished business that they need to attend to. My parents grew up around this time. They were both born around this time period. So I think that's also partially why I said it right after World War II, is because it kind of allowed me a chance to play historian and ask my parents like questions about their upbringing and what the texture of Thailand was like at the time. So
there's something about this story also. It's right there in the title when you chose to title it The Return. It's not only somebody coming back home, but after the war, but it's also the spirit and the spirit of Nag and her child who are returning and lingering for this unfinished business. When you were investigating and asking your parents all those questions about their upbringing in Thailand at the time, were you in your mind returning to Thailand, thinking about the ways in which you wanted to dramatize it and give us those sights and sounds and the voices and the people, because it's so rich, the play is so rich with the world you've created for us?
Any chance I have to revisit Thailand in new contexts is something that I take. I'm very fascinated by legacies. I think being a first generation American and the child of immigrants, I'm always fascinated and enthralled by stories about big journeys and the legacies we leave behind. Going and being able to talk to my parents about it was huge. I learned things I had never heard before, or my parents had never really felt compelled to talk about before, even just in the excavation of this play. And then it allowed me a chance to kind of set a scene for people of all the things I love about Thailand. I mentioned to John Gramada, our phenomenal sound designer and producer, that the sound and the air in Thailand has a texture. The air has weight, and the light has texture. And those are all things I've always wanted to convey to people in a piece. And I think this was my chance to do that.
I love the opening in particular on the boat, the sense of arriving someplace, the sound of the marketplace, and then that journey down the stretch to the house. As you were writing it, you'd send me some drafts and you would start to describe that the house that you were writing reminded you of the house that your grandfather lived in and built. Were you seeing all those images in your mind and making it very personal in the images that you created?
Yeah, to paint a scene, I suppose. My father's parents owned a home that sat on top of a marsh. And so in order to get to it, my family owned this huge complex of houses. And at the very back wall, behind the brick wall of the lot, was a door. Mm-hmm. You open the door, and there's just this wooden bridge that has like one side of it is like shoved into an embankment. And the other side of it is just open marsh, like water and bracken. And you have to walk across this bridge just to get to the front porch of my grandparents' home. All throughout my childhood, like, that was very formative for me, how vastly different it was to, like, my home in the States. I totally borrowed from that. I loved being able to, like, return to Thailand in a way.
Let me ask you, you are, if you don't mind my asking, you are an accomplished actor. You have trod the boards all over the country, and you know your way around the stage. And I was wondering, what's it like for an actor to write for other actors? How have you leaned into your own experience as an actor, as a playwright?
I think the beauty of being able to write for other actors is that I'm very familiar with how other actors process material and the things that actors want to play with and talk about. Language, how it's structured, how it's used, where it's used, and how character reveals itself. Like, that is hugely important for me as an actor. So it informs every part of my writing. I want to write things that actors like to say. It's also fun, though, I will say, because now I'm writing for more than one character. I think as an actor, you're very focused on one character, and that character's journey through a piece. But here you're tracking a lot more. There's a really interesting animation technique where a lot of animators, they have a mirror while they're animating and they'll like make faces or they'll like act out a scene so that they can animate it. And it's a bit of the same for me. I will literally sit at the computer and I'll be like, what is the most logical thing that someone would say in response to this?
I have this image of you sitting at your keyboard, acting out all the characters and doing the whole performance on your own. And we should record that too.
It definitely happened. I was like, ooh, yes, I know what I want to say here. And oh, this is the beat. I got the beat. Okay.
Let's talk about the sense of language, though. It's so beautiful and lyrical in so many ways. There are times where, you know, as an audience, we're listening to essentially a translation. And so you're playing with language. And there are times when you lean into things that could not be said or translated into English that you use from the Thai language. And I'm wondering, how did you make those choices? And where did those places creep in for you? And what did it mean to you?
Thai language is really interestingly structured. It's quite a lyrical language, but also at the same time, its imagery is very evocative. And so I really wanted to bring that texture into the writing itself. And I found that with Nag, for example, because she's so otherworldly, I leaned into a much more formalized structure to how she speaks. Mm-hmm. It's much more lyrical when she speaks. And the closer she gets to being earthbound, the less that structure occurs. And when I would make choices about the Thai language and using Thai language in the piece, it came at points where I felt characters were being incredibly intimate with each other. I wanted to find moments where the regular language just didn't suffice. That's when the Thai comes in. And Thai has such beautiful terms of endearment that I had growing up, that I heard growing up. And so those to me were like little intimacy nuggets that people had between each other. Ja, na, ka, like that. Those are little sweet little words that people say to each other. And so it was moments where I wanted the intimacy to really come up to the forefront. Like when Dang sings to his daughter.
In the lullaby, you have a lyric, as insects buzz, a morning song. And I got such a kick out of the fact that John included an insect that buzzed occasionally whenever something ghostly was about to happen. But the sound that got me most in the piece was the sound of that baby warbling or crying, especially when Dang takes the child to the market and he's singing to the child or you know, speaking to it. And we hear the child crying and we then realize in hindsight that no one else could hear the kid, that no one else could even see the kid. He was living in his own world, if you will. And so he sees things that others don't. There are two things going on in the play. One is Dang's reality, and the one is the other characters on the outside who are looking at him differently. And that creates such a dramatic tension. And there's a sorrow in it. I was wondering if you could explore further the characters who were the supporting characters in Dang's story, like Padi and also his cousin. Are these characters that you drew from particular people in your life, particularly your auntie?
Yeah, I definitely drew on people I knew for the other characters. Buddy specifically, I basically consolidate every aunt I have. My mom is the middle of five sisters, and my dad has four sisters. So my dad's the only guy in his family. He's the eldest, and then he has four sisters. No. He has five. He has five sisters. Oh my gosh. I forgot one of my aunts.
We won't tell her.
So I grew up with lots of really strong, loving, charismatic women. Yeah, I definitely wanted to include the fussy, loving, but slightly overbearing like auntie that I grew up with, because they're such a big part of the fabric of my life, and actually a huge part of the fabric of like Thai life when I was a kid growing up. So Padi in this one makes curry paste, right? And she sells curry paste. When I was a kid growing up, I have such strong memories of my aunts all convening together for like maybe like a big family gathering and just cooking massive amounts of food. Sitting like on little stools making curry paste all together with like these big mortar and pestles. And so that I was like, oh, I gotta include that somehow, because that's such a like a sense memory from my life. The smell, the sound, the chatter, the chattering all around me. And then for Putt, Pet's a hard character. He's got a lot going on inside of him. And I didn't base him necessarily on anybody I knew specifically, but I think I based maybe his sort of like the way he deals with the world on a cousin of mine who is quite circumspect, kind of keeps to himself. He keeps things very close to his chest. And that was a big inspiration for Putt. And I just then imagined, I was like, what would life be like if Putt had to go through a war? And that's kind of where that character came from.
Kaven, every time you sent me a draft, whenever you spoke about Deng, you had great sympathy for what he was going through. Now, it's entirely possible that his wife and child aren't waiting for him when he returns home, that he's conjured this all up to deal with his grief. And yet again, it's also entirely possible that indeed these spirits are around him and he is being haunted. Do you feel like answering whether or not this haunting is real or not?
It's a little bit of both, I think. In many iterations of this legend, people make the choice that it's one or the other. And in Thailand, more often than not, it tends to be a ghost story. Like Nag is an actual ghost. But I was really struck by the thought that for anybody who comes from a traumatic situation, that the mind often searches for things to comfort them and ways to comfort them and soothe them. I know that for myself, just from personal experience, you know. So it's very possible that Deng has conjured them in his mind to kind of return to a sense of normalcy that he had before he left for the war. But it's also very possible that Nag herself has unfinished business and she's come back to haunt him because she's not done with living life. And I actually kind of wanted to play with the idea that it's a little bit of both. So then the notion came out that he brings her back to life, essentially. But I think the audience can make their own decisions about, is she a ghost? Or is she a conjuring of his own creation?
Even at the end of the piece, when he still sort of grapples with feeling alone, I've listened to it a number of times, and there are times where I hear it and I go, oh, he's conjured this up in his mind. Other times where I say, oh no, she's real. That ghost is real. But either way, he does have this beautiful act of giving over this sense of release to that spirit. And so at the end of the play, I always take from it, and people can take from it what they will, that even if he's in a new place and it's still hard, that there is life left to be lived and that he must figure out what it means to move forward. And I think there's something really just extraordinary about how you finish this piece and let the ambiguity sit there. Every time you sent me a new version, a new idea, a new draft, I saw you digging in deeper and further. And I was so honored and pleased to direct this piece with our extraordinary cast and with John doing original music and sound and audio design. It was really an extraordinary experience to watch you create this world for us, and such a privilege. I want to congratulate you and thank you.
Thank you.
This is Mark Lamus, Artistic Director of the Westport Country Playhouse, thanking you for joining us.